I want to pick up from last week. If you remember, we closed out last week by talking about the need to celebrate what God is doing. Do you remember that? That if you want to be a victorious Christian, you want to walk in the flow of the blessing of God, God wants us to meditate, according to Psalm 145. He wants us to meditate on His majestic, glorious splendor. He wants us to talk about the stories and tell the stories of what He's doing and what He has done. So we're all about focusing on what God is doing, not and what He's promised, not trying to focus on what we think didn't get done or what God didn't do. So with that in mind, because many times what we think God didn't do, in time we understand why God did what He did and how and why He did it the way He did it. But with that in mind today, you know, it's going to be a day of celebration today, isn't it, for somebody? And I want all you men and football stars here to listen up, because I have studied this week. Because I don't want to be an irrelevant pastor. And you know that I am sports challenged. You know that. But I am aware today that somewhere around 6 o'clock, is it 6:30 today? There's going to be a big game that all of America just about is going to be watching, and tens of thousands are going to be present for. And I happen to know today, because I asked my husband to educate me, that the New England Patriots, okay, coached by Bill Belichick. Did I say that right? Belichick. It looks like Belichick. Belichick. Check or check? Thank you. He's a good coach. Glory to God. Praying for him. Yeah. And with quarterback Tom Brady. We have a few. Wow. I hope they have more fans than that. They're going to step into the arena with the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, I get it. Your team didn't make it, right? Dallas Cowboys isn't in there. Washington Redskins are not in there. Yeah. See how much I know? Coached by Doug Peterson with quarterback. I don't know how to say his name. Nick somebody. There you go. There you go. Now, that's as much time as I feel like I should give to that in my life. But, pardon? You all agree? There's going to be a big game, and whether you like the teams that are in there or not, you're probably going to be watching. And maybe you've got some Super Bowl parties and things like that planned for today. Be blessed in it. You know, I'm going to watch it. Why? Because I have one television. Did y'all get that? And one day a year, He controls it. I'm going to celebrate with whoever wins. I'm just going to be happy. I'm going to talk about the wins. I'm going to celebrate who wins. Listen, I want to talk to you for a minute about what we are doing here at Church Alive. And again, I may have to recap quickly some of this next week, but I want to talk to you about what we are doing. First of all, you know that we're all about existing to love people back to life. And we're doing that through our weekly services, our weekend services, where we can bring people to know God and we can get to know God better. We're doing that through our small groups who launched again this week. And thank God we have 18 groups that are going strong. And we had a whole bunch of people in small groups this week. And we're really excited about that. We had a great time being together again this week. We're going to be together for 13-week semester. It's not too late to jump in. If you're not in a small group, you can go online to churchaliveintl.com/groups. And there's a whole list of all the groups that are meeting, the times they meet, the days that they meet. We're still going to continue to do what we do weekly with Growth Track. And Growth Track is a ministry that helps you grow in your spiritual journey, centered around helping you discover and find out what God has wired you to do and to be, your purpose in life, your gifts in life, and then connect you with a place where you can use those gifts. Now, Growth Track takes place every Sunday at 1:30. And if you've questioned whether or not we're having it today, the answer is yes, because this is supposed to be the warmest part of the day now, right now. And we're going to go ahead. I know we have at least one young man that is ready to serve and he needs step one to finish. So Travis, we're here for you today, bud. And we're also inviting anybody else who wants to start their Growth Track. Today's about a 45-minute session together with Pastor Tim. We'll be there, the host, and share with you. So weekend services, small groups, Growth Track, and also our A teams. And I love our A teams because a lot of them are serving right now. And a lot of them were here serving for you this morning. A teams are the ones that make it happen. But in addition to that, there's something that we don't talk about. We talk about those things almost all the time around here. And we try to help newcomers coming in know that these are things that are happening every week around here for reasons, for specific reasons to help you in your spiritual journey. But something that I don't talk a lot about is our missions work that we're doing. I don't know if you know that we are intricately involved with 7 pastors and 1 evangelist that look to Church Alive for help. We are making sure that they are taken care of. And how many of you know people that live in those kinds of circumstances, they need some help from some of us who God has really blessed. Would you agree with me in that? We are touching probably 300 churches. What I'm trying to show you is we are making a much bigger impact than you can even realize when you come in here on any given Sunday or any given Wednesday night. God has been very specific to tell us that there are going to be other nations that we're supposed to reach out to. And church, I hope this doesn't make you feel like, well, I've got my own needs. I'm just trying to keep my own head above water. Listen, the church that reaches out is the church that is blessed. The church that cannot ever reach out is a church that will shrivel up and die. I mean, literally. And people within that church cannot be blessed. You need to know that when Church Alive was founded, my father was the senior pastor and the founding pastor. And one thing Reverend Melvin West was known for was his love for the nations and his love for the people groups of the world. And he made sure, and of course it didn't take any twisting of arm because our hearts were with him in it. But from the very first year, we began to look for where were the missionaries that God wanted us to connect with that were doing something beyond what we are doing right now. That we could step in some small way, especially in the beginning, and begin to help with. And we've been doing it ever since the doors opened, and we have no plans to ever stop doing what I'm talking to you about right now. We partner with Steve Smith, and that's Pastor Tim's father. Steve is in Mexico today, but Steve will be in 9 nations this year, and we help support his ministry. He will minister at men's groups. He will minister in prisons. He will minister at youth rallies. He will teach and lead pastors. And Steve estimates that he's teaching and leading about 1,000 to 1,200 church leaders every year through his ministry. You know that we've helped him dig a well in India, but they have dug dozens of wells now. And each well provides 800 to 1,200 families with water, and it'll provide it for 25 years. He's doing that in India. He's given bicycles to pastors in the nation that we just spoke about. He is also helping sponsor a home for girls in India who have been saved from infanticide. They would have been killed. And they rescued them, and they're raising them in a home there in India. And he helps support. We've helped do things like build a kitchen there, different things for that home in past years. And then he also partners with rescue homes in Guadalajara, Mexico. These rescue homes are for young ex-convicts that have been involved in gangs and in drugs. Each home holds about 30 to 35 young men. And Steve is hands-on committed to helping them with things they need to run these homes. Do you see what you're doing? You have a part in that. Can you say praise the Lord? We've partnered for... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I want you to see what God is doing, and it goes so far beyond what we see here in Roanoke, but it's going to be also touching and impacting Roanoke because of your generosity and because of our heart for the nations. We have partnered for over 20 years with a group you may have never heard of called LACI Feed the Hungry. I got their year-end report, and guess what? They are regularly giving meals to 180,372 children in 20 of the world's most impoverished countries. They have given out almost 25,000 Bibles and Christian books this past year, sent 85 semi-tractor loads of food to the areas that were hit by hurricanes, and 5 million pounds of food and help to the outreaches around America that have needed them in strategic places. We don't send that much a month, but we send every month, and we've been doing it for over 20 years. We've got a big part in that, and I thank God for it. We are partnering with Mission of Hope in Costa Rica, and that is Rolando and Holly. That Rolando has been here on a couple of occasions and has greeted you. Rolando's also kind of like the Barnabas or the Timothy of the team of Apostle Carrie and Steve. When they go out, Rolando is the guy who goes and interprets for them in these Latino countries. And he also reaches out to some of the nations that we're reaching out to. This is the area and the ministry that we're teamed up with for our own missions trip that we're trying to do by May of this year, that Petey and Suzanne have a small group. Suzanne, raise your hand if you would. They've started a small group last week. It's not too late to get in it for training for how to do missions work and to get ready for a missions trip, and they're meeting on Wednesdays at 6:30. This is the area that we go into. We took a group a few years ago, had a marvelous time feeding the homeless, giving shoes and t-shirts to the homeless, going into the Nicaraguan refugee camps and feeding the children out in the tobacco fields or where they live. Was it tobacco fields? I forgot what it was. They raise farms. Coffee farms, excuse me, and where they live, and just blessing them there. And so they are feeding 7,800 children in those refugee camps, and they're feeding 3,000 homeless people in two different cities. They've served 14,000 plates. They're a smaller ministry, but they've served 14,000 plates of food in regular feeding programs, and they're constantly providing food for 10 families over in Cuba as well. And they have been able to successfully reach a tribe of 90, just 90 people that had never heard about Jesus. And they are the ones that are going in. They were the first to tell these people about Jesus Christ. And they're going regularly to bless them and carry relief and supplies into them. Does Jesus care about a tribe of 90? He surely does. He surely does. Man. They said that they provided 4,000 pounds of food to the areas that were flooded by Hurricane Otto there. And you may not have heard much about that because Hurricane Harvey had just hit here, but Costa Rica had a devastating flood around the same time that the hurricanes were hitting here. And immediately Mission of Hope and Rolando and Holly went into action to go in and help in these areas. We've been giving to them, and we support them with generous support from your tithe and offerings and from your missions giving. We've been supporting them now for, I don't even know how long. I'm sorry, I didn't track it. I'm going to say it's close to 20 years now. We've been helping support this work that's doing such a great work there. We have been also partnered for over 20 years with Metro World Child. And again, we don't send a lot every month, but we send it every month. If you've ever run a ministry, you know it isn't all about the amount of money. It's the consistency of the money coming in to be able to run those ministries. Metro World Child is now the largest Sunday school in the world. And they serve 150,000 children every week in New York City and in 200 urban centers around the world. Did y'all hear that? It is a major, major ministry that is transforming. Their goal is change a generation, one child at a time. And their focus is on all major urban areas of the world, beginning in New York City. We've been there. We've done hands-on. I've ridden the school buses with them. We've done hands-on with them to see what they do. It is one of the most phenomenal works I have ever seen in my life. And we are proud to partner with them and have been doing so for over 20 years. And that's where your giving and your love is going, right into the heart of New York City and to the urban centers of the world, blessing children. Can you give God praise for that? Then I'm going to bring it on home. It doesn't take a lot to run our Adopt-A-Block ministry. But Jason, are you here? Jason, would you just raise your hand? Keep it up so everybody can see it. Jason and Centella, his daughter there, and his wife, Melissa, they are leading our small group that's called Adopt-A-Block. We've been in Lansdowne with Adopt-A-Block for, I know, 15 years now. And just serving 3 weeks out of four, serving the homes and the people in the Lansdowne community with anything that we can do, love and prayer any help that we can give. They've done everything from make flower beds to go in and repaint walls. And then at special times of the year, like Thanksgiving, they make sure anybody that doesn't have anywhere to go has a Thanksgiving meal delivered to them around noon on Thanksgiving Day. We supplied 125 children with school bags, bags of school supplies. They gave 125 toys to 125 children this past Christmas. And in 2018, first of all, they're reaching about 100 homes. They're out there every week just meeting people, praying with people who need prayer, meeting needs. They are reaching about 100 homes, and about a dozen of the children that they've gotten to know in the Lansdowne community are now coming at one time or another to our Kids Alive program here at Church Alive. And we're so thrilled about that. And yes, in 2018, what I'm extremely excited about is you're going to hear us shift a little bit from handing out the book supplies, because what we're finding out is we don't want to do something that everybody else is already doing or that a lot of other people are doing if it's not as needed. It seems like in July and August, there are a lot of people that are giving out school supplies. But Jason and Melissa have met with some of the staff there at Hurt Park Elementary School. Am I right on that? It's the elementary, not the... Is it Hurt Park Elementary? They've met with some and made some connections there. And they found out from the teachers that the problem is the kids start out the school year with supplies and the supplies run out. So we have committed Church Alive to completely furnish and supply one entire classroom with supplies for the entire year as needed for 2018. What I'd like to do, I'd like to extend that to the entire fourth grade. I believe this is a fourth grade classroom that we're going to sponsor. I'd love for us just to do however many fourth grades there are and just make sure there are supplies for the entire fourth grade. Wouldn't you like to do that? So, and then we're talking about expanding now into Nicaragua. And you know what? We never come to you and say, please give, do we? This is one of the first times you've probably heard me even talk about missions. And you don't may not even know that we have a missions arm of the church. But I felt it very necessary to tell you. And then especially with the direction God is going today with our worship and the things that we're focusing on here. And so many of you wanting to go out to the nations. I think it's important that you know what you are doing and how far and how widespread it's going. You say, I don't give that much. You know what? God takes what you give. He combines it with what others give. He blesses it and multiplies it, and the work of the kingdom's getting done throughout the earth. There's a whole lot of good things going on through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the earth, and we're determined we're going to be right in the center of it, right in the middle of it. Deuteronomy 15 and 10 says this: give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. And we're trying to live by that. I know that in America, you know, Jesus said the poor you'll always have with you, meaning there will always be those that are in need that are poor. He didn't say his people had to be, but he did tell us to go, and he did tell us to meet those needs. And he did tell us that anytime we give even a cup of cold water from those wells in India, whenever we even give a cup of cold water in his name, that we're doing it as unto him, and that the reward will come from him. And we've talked about around here how we are all living for the day when we can look at him, and he will look at us. He will look at us with those loving, loving eyes and say, well done. That's what we're looking for. So everything that I have just told you about, and some of you I know are probably involved in other areas. Sue is involved in China. But do you notice a theme in everything that I just told you about? Do you notice a theme? Everywhere we are giving, everywhere we're sowing, is being sown into children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you're going to hear more about that in the days and weeks to come, and probably even next Sunday. You'll hear more about that. But that excites me, because we are called to be a multi-generational church. And we are not only looking out for our children that are in classrooms today being taught the love of Jesus Christ and who they are in Christ, but we want to spread that over the entire world. And I thank God, because we didn't set out to intentionally just partner with ministries that were focusing on children. But as it ends up, and as we look and review what's happening, yes, we are blessing churches and pastors, but we're blessing churches and pastors who are reaching children. And then, as you heard, some of these ministries are just completely focused on reaching children. Do you know what God is doing in our day? Do you know what he's doing? He is taking his church and he's taking the adult arm and the child arm and he's putting it together and he's saying, you're all part of my body. And I never wanted the children to be cut off and be over here. And those of you that are in pursuit that are in here today with us, I want you to know you're not some lame arm of the church that someday is going to get infused with power and rise up. No, you're a part of the church right now. And many of you, I'm so proud, are already serving in the church. You're serving in media. You're serving in the nursery. You're serving in preschool. You're helping out in Kids Alive Elementary. I'm so proud of you for that. You're already serving. You're already a huge part of what God is doing in the church. And some of you that are a little bit older, I think it's maybe eighth grade and up. I don't remember now, 14 and up. I'm not sure. You could ask Suzanne about that. But some of you may be at an age where you're ready to step out and even take that missions trip. If mom and dad either want to go with you or if they don't mind you going with one of our teams, it'll change your life forever. Change your life forever. Here's the deal. I'm going to save my points of what what we're going to do. I'm going to save that for next week. So I hope that's a good enough hook for you not to miss next week. I've got some things I'm so excited about. I'll probably get real loud and dance and all that good stuff. But I'm going to save that for next week about what's coming in 2018. But I want to tell you this today. Jesus said, and I'll just be about 5 minutes here, I think, and then we'll pray and we'll ask the Lord what he wants to do and we'll release you to get back out in the slush. Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples in Matthew 16:24, and I'm probably jumping ahead now on those slides back there, April. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Somebody shout selfish. And you must take up your cross and follow me. Because you see, according to Jesus, everything in life is not about us. Even though we live in a culture that is constantly teaching us that everything is about me. Something happened many years ago. I'm old enough to remember it. In the hamburger industry. First of all, there wasn't a hamburger industry when I was born. And somewhere when I was a very young child, and I was probably 5 or 6, I remember there being this little drive-in thing. I think it was called Chips, and you could get hamburgers for a quarter. And boy, that's when the scales started to tip the other direction. Was you could feed your family for $2, you know. That was a long time ago. But McDonald's came along, and how many of you remember? They put a song together so that we could remember what their hamburger was like. 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on a, in it, the power of music. Somebody's brilliant in the advertising world. And so for years, we got our Big Macs with 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on a sesame seed bun. And if we didn't like the sesame seeds, we picked them off. If we didn't like the pickle, we picked it off. If we didn't like the cheese, we tried to scrape it off, you know. But that's just the way it comes. But then somebody came on the scene called Burger King. How many of you remember? Now they put another song out there. What was their song? Come on, say it. Have it your way. And it transformed the world of burgers. And all of a sudden you didn't have to take the Big Mac and pick off what you wanted. You drove up, and we still do it today now at all of the drive-thrus. We do it today and we'll say, I want a cheeseburger, no onion, no lettuce. I want a cheeseburger. If you're Sherry Maycock, you say, I want a cheeseburger plain. I want the meat and the cheese and the bun. That's all I want, you know. Yeah, well, and we get it. Everybody say our way. It was the Have It Your Way campaign. God did not create us to be takers. He created us to be givers. He did not create a church to be entitled with things like, I deserve my fair share. Have you ever thought about what that phrase can put into us? All I want is my fair share. What he put into us and what he told his disciples is, if you will give yourself away, you will find your real life. My God. If you will give your life away, And if you will, and he said things like, if you will not try to be first, you can be exalted. But if you're going to clamor to be first and clamor to put yourself first, then you're going to end up not being happy, not being fulfilled, not being joyful. Listen, it changed the mindset of our culture when Burger King said, have it your way. And what has happened is it's even creeped into the church. Now, I want you to see this because it's right in front of our faces and we just don't recognize it sometimes. We began to see ourselves as spiritual consumers, shopping, and the church is the product. And we get me-centered and my-centered and our center. And do you know that there's many churches that to hear this year, and oh, I didn't give you the total, did I? If you're a tither here, you got a report this past week, and you saw that as a church, in all combined areas of missions and outreach and supporting those who are going, we gave $50,000 to the nations of the world and the outreaches of the world this past year. You can do better than that. For this size church, that is a miracle. That is God. But when we tell you we are generous, we don't just tell you to be generous. We are generous. We are generous. Hallelujah. I want to always be in the top five givers of this church. Not because I'm making so much, but because I continually give more. I want to always be right up there. Pastor Carrie and I are going to always try to model that for you. We believe in generosity. But listen, the mindset then comes in that I'm the consumer, like I am in driving through at Burger King and want it my way. I want church my way too. And I don't mean this to be harsh, but this begins to creep in to churches and it begins to creep into our theology. And the next thing you know, even in our prayers, we're commanding God to give things to us our way. God, I'm asking you about this, but this is the way I want you to do it. And we're not leaving it open for God to do it. Shout your way, Lord. We forget that we are not made by God to be spiritual consumers, but we are made to be spiritual contributors. And I'm sorry, I had notes for you today, but I had them pull them because I wasn't going to do the whole thing. So now I probably should have let you have them. That's how the snow just messes things up. So here's a way in these last few seconds that you can ask yourself, am I more of a contributor or am I more of a consumer? Because see, what people do is they will say, I'm shopping for a church. We're church shopping right now. And I hate that term. I hate that term. And I know it's a very real process, but I hate it because it seems like, again, like I'm shopping for shoes and I just haven't found the ones that I want. I'll know it when I see it, you know. And that's kind of the mindset we get. And that's not at all. It's unbiblical to say I can't find a church that meets my needs. This is kind of heavy, but let me put it out there. To say I can't find a church that meets my needs is unbiblical. There's nothing Bible based about that statement. It is the have it your way mindset. Here's how you know if you're a contributor or a consumer. Ask yourself, when I arrive at church to come to assemble together for worship, first of all, do you drop your kids off in a children's ministry that you never serve in and come and sit in a building that you never give to help pay for, in chairs that someone else has paid for, and then enjoy the service, enjoy the worship, enjoy the word and the fellowship, which we want everybody to do, but then get up and go pick up your children from that said children's ministry and leave? If that's the case, if that sums up your experience here in Church Alive, then you're a consumer. And just so you know, I didn't write this. I got this from a man named Craig Groeschel, but I thought it was so good that I put it in here for today. Okay. He's a pastor of tens of thousands of people. And he teaches this. If you want to read his book, it's a book called Divine Direction. And it's talking about the importance of connecting and how God connects us together, but how we tend to resist what God wants to do because we're consumers. But at the same time, if you can ask yourself this, am I using my gifts to contribute, to make a difference in some area of the ministry? Am I inviting people to church? Am I praying for my church and praying faithfully, enriching my own life with God, but also praying for others, not just for myself? Am I tithing consistently? Do I serve? And when I serve, I'm passionate about. So I don't begrudge it. I'm passionate about what I do. If that describes you, then you are a contributor. I knew it would get quiet. But if you're using your life to be a blessing to others, then your life is full and your life is rewarding. But if you're using your life and focused on self-service and what pleases me and what fits me instead of on serving others, okay, I want everybody to look at me as I say this. You're going to end up your life with a blank page. Remember, I talked about how I want to go to my grave knowing that I have made a difference in a whole bunch of people's lives. Some of them I may not ever meet when I'm just sending my missions dollars. I may not even meet the people until heaven that I'm making a difference in. But I do want to know some of them that I'm making a difference in. I want to know. So I don't want to end my life with a blank page. We can be a consumer and end with a blank page. We can be a contributor and we can have all the blessings that Jesus told his disciples. If you really want to be with me and experience. And what was Jesus doing? Healing the sick, opening blind eyes, casting out devils, giving the truths of the kingdom of God. Who got those? The ones that were close to him. The ones who had left and forsaken and were following Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to lay down my life. I believe that there's something God wants this church to accomplish. And next week, I'll unveil much of it to you. As much as I believe the Lord has given me. And I believe he wants us to do it together. I am very thankful for you today. Because today you didn't just weather the snow to go to church. Today you are the church. And you know you are the church. Going to church is not just something we do. We are being the church. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. We are the church and we exist for the world. Shout with me. We are the church and we exist for the world. Let's say it one more time. We are the church. Stand to your feet. We are the church and we exist for the world. And by the world, I don't mean the world system. I mean this entire earth that God has given us to cover. And there's a whole lot of things he wants us to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus.